Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! It's a minute past the hour, and here we go, Conversation Radio for this Tuesday, the 29th day of November, 2016. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live, and that's where you go. I can't right now. I don't know why, but that's where you go if you want to jump into the chat room, which I can't do right now. I got an error. But at any rate, you know, I'll get there if I get there. But at any rate, it's also, it's our home. But you can always get the program at TuneIn, Stitcher Radio, Roku devices. A wide variety, and via WhiteRoseSociety.org as well. So hopefully you're out there, because I'm here. And we're streaming, and if you're not getting the program, presumably I will get an email telling me that, and I'll be able to act accordingly. But hopefully, you know, you're getting the program. Okay. So this is listener-supported radio, and I am proud to announce that we have 345 left to go in the month of November, and hopefully, a big thanks to Andy and to Reverbo for helping knock that down. Thank you very, very kindly. Thanks to our subscribers as well, and thank you very kindly to Bob in Texas. Bob has put $100 challenge on the table. If we bring in $100 this evening during the live program, well, then we will. Bob will put forward $100 and match it, and your 5 will become 10, your 10 will become 20, etc., etc., and hopefully we will knock out $345 that we need to raise to finish out November and maybe actually get a jump start on December. I know that's extremely optimistic, but if we knock out that $345, we will have beaten the Swede, and we will be off and running into December on November 30th, which is freaking awesome and badly, badly needed. Thank you very kindly to Harold, the president and CEO of the Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society, letting me know that the stream is on time on the internet. And thanks also to David, letting me know loud and clear on TuneIn. Great. I appreciate it, because I can't see into the chat room to get confirmation that way. Let's see. We are going in the chat room for some reason or another. I just can't get there. Oops. But, you know, hopefully that'll change maybe when I get a little bit of a break. So it is Titanic Tuesday on the Horn. If you have a hard time getting to headonradionetwork.com for any reason in the contribute tab there, just a quick reminder, you can always use my email address, bobkincaid@gmail.com, because that's how the whole PayPal widget is set up over at headonradionetwork.com. bobkincaid@gmail.com, just go to PayPal, use that as the send address, and do whatever you're going to do. And that way will be fine and dandy. Oh, goody. Blue screen of death on one of the production computers. How lovely. Yeah. No, it's not. But that's okay. That's okay. We can get started without that. Because, well, a lot of stuff is just, well, I've been reading and prepping all day long, and it's kind of already in my head. Let's see. Apparently, ISIS, ISIL, assholes in the desert have claimed responsibility for the Ohio State University attack yesterday by a guy with a car and a machete, or whatever, a knife. That's what they said in the news reports, a knife, because white America would run screaming into the night if the word machete was used in a report, but, oh, whatever. I'm not downplaying it, but my God, you know. Oh, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. I forgot that part. You know, you just know how this is going to be used by the white wing and the terrorized people and the pant sweaters and the bed wetters and the people who are afraid that the ghost of Osama is going to get them in the night and then you're head loppers! Right, yeah. It's really frustrating. And of course, at some point in time, we'll have a tweet or a dispatch from the commander in Cheeto telling us how he's going to kick ISIS's ass. Yeah, whoa. And we will happily give up whatever freedoms that we are asked to give up in the name of safety and security. Because that's how it works. Yeah, Marty, with a simple email, simple and yet complex at the same time, says, the Reichstag is on fire. Yeah. I kind of know what you mean by that, Marty. A number of interesting emails coming in. I wanted to share a couple that go back a day or so. Sorry, having to get the other computer restarted after the B-sod. Let me see here. Okay. Give me just a sec. Nope, can't do that. All right. Oh, well. Anyway, had a really, really compelling email from our buddy Steve in New York yesterday evening, and didn't want to let it go by. We'll get into the news of the day in a minute because it'll all kind of fold together. I have a feeling it always does. Stephen New York writes, I've been thinking about this comment from the show Newsroom. If liberals are so fucking smart, how come they lose so goddamn always? Yeah, that was a very resonant line. Most of you have seen that monologue in which is it Jeff Daniels? Excoriates both sides and talks about how America wasn't always as nasty and shitty as it is now in response to a question from, like, you know, a sorority girl college student. Yeah. Can you tell us why it is that America is great? Yeah, that. And that line is resonant as we begin the process of figuring out just what the hell happened on November 8th. And that process is going to go on for a while. The theories and ideas are already being pushed out there. Of course, my theory, and I propound it because, you know, I was proven correct, is that Hillary Clinton should never have run for president. And I'm not trying to be shitty about this to people who voted for her. After all, 2 million people, 2 million more people voted for her than voted for Benito Cheeto. But the fact remains that we have an undemocratic, anti-democratic system of choosing the president of the United States in the form of the Electoral College, which Madison didn't like, and Andrew Jackson didn't like, and people have complained about. But, you know, as long as the Democrats, when the Democrats win the presidency, they forget to worry about the Electoral College. The system worked! And then when we get fucked by the Electoral College, like twice in 16 years, well, then we hand-wring and pearl-clutch, trying to figure out what to do. And the what to do part is a real pain in the ass because it requires amending the Constitution, which is no small task. And then, of course, there is the question of, okay, states that pass statutes saying that their electors must vote for the winner of the popular vote, which in itself is kind of complex. It sounds simple, but it's not. I mean, let's say you live in Alabama. Well, you've got 9 electoral votes. Let's say you live in almost level West by Cole, Virginia, Stan. You got 5 electoral college votes. And guess what's going to happen? The electoral college is going to vote according to who won the popular vote in those states. Huh? Can you imagine how pissed off Talibamians would be and us hillbillies up here would be if the Electoral College electors voted for Hillary Clinton in direct contravention of the will of the people of the state of West Virginia and the state of Alabama? What if Donald Trump had won the popular vote and that was in place in, say, California, and the electors had to vote? You get the point? Because the way I understand it, the vote with the popular vote idea is that it's not just the popular vote in your state, it's the popular vote nationwide. And that sort of exposes the problem here, doesn't it? I mean, there's no one in any given state whose electoral college electors are going to vote contrary to the popular will in each state. But anyway, Democrats forget about all of this when we win, and then we moan, groan, hand-wring, and pearl-clutch when we get screwed. Which we did. And so, consequently, we have this problem. By the way, Gerald pointing out, Bob, I read an article the other day, sorry I didn't bookmark it, that said on November 9th, Smith & Wesson stock dropped 25% and is still down 17% as of the article's writing. Sturm Ruger dropped 17%. I don't think I need to point out the connection, do I? No, I can connect those dots, and I think everybody else can, too. We're not going to need to gun up anymore, because we're going to have us some freedom. Mm-hmm. But anyway, back to Steve's note. I'm wondering, Steve asks, if we as liberals have refused to acknowledge and understand the difference between politics and policy. The fact is that politics is a cutthroat blood sport, and if you don't play the game better than the other side, you don't even win the opportunity to do the policy part. I'm wondering if we have to begin to play better and more ruthlessly than they do. There are certain things that are off limits, such as voter suppression and lying, but we should use the truth as a sword instead of only as a shield.
Well, the other side isn't interested in truth or facts. I mean, look at the hissy they created over how people go potty. Oh, for God's sakes, really.
I mean, we can't have any of that in the restaurant.
You know, and clearly these idiots have never been to Europe. I mean, because I remember being a teenager and being kind of flipped out that this sort of middle-aged woman was sitting in the men's room in the airport in Milan when I went in there. And, because, you know, little redneck boy from Alabama, right? But they're just there to keep the place clean. And you go in and you do what you do in the bathroom and you go out and the only people who are put off by it are, you know, puritanical, neo-Calvinist, uptight, hung-up, repressed, you know, Merkins. From Merca. Yeah, Merca.
The greatest country in the history of the world on earth, in universe, now, today, forever, amen, under God. Don't burn no flag. Because if you do, Trump will get you.
Right. Hey, but, you know, they're vicious, the right-wingers are. I mean, they're the stump-licker bunch. They'll poke you in one eye, sucker punch you, kidney punch you, kick you in the crotch, and once you're on the ground and pleading for mercy, then the fun really starts, and they start to gut stomp you and curb stomp you, because that's who they are. They fight like that. But anyway, that's just me. Let's go on to what Steve says. Am I suggesting that the ends justify the means? Honestly, I think so. But I'm not sure. The fact is that in not understanding the difference between the two and how we have to play them has left us in this situation with 34 of 50 governors being GOP and 33 of 50 states' legislatures totally in GOP control. The GOP will likely control all three federal branches. I'm oddly still not convinced Post will ever take office. Oh, I think he will. By the way, there has been an update on, you know, I suggested we refer to him as Post and not POTUS because Post is just piece of shit Trump. But somebody wiser and more creative took a look at POTUS and said, that looks like it could possibly spell piece of totally useless shit. Trump. So, maybe it's POTUS after all. The starkest statistic, Steve continues, which you will read below, is that the GOP gained 680 seats in the state legislatures in 2010 alone. Those kind of results only come from long-term planning and a keen understanding of the game of politics. It also comes from a recognition that that right-wing money was better spent because it was cheaper to buy state legislators than it is to buy federal ones. And so, several years back, there was a concerted effort launched to take control of the state legislatures, and meanwhile, the liberals, progressives, Democrats, the kumbaya crowd, and the sparkle fart powered unicorn cavalry said, "Oh, all right." But those kind of results, Steve says, come only from long-term planning and a keen understanding of the game of politics. What the exit polls from this election tell us that education and race are probably the two most important factors in predicting voter behavior. And, you know, you kind of wish it wasn't that way. But we, you know, ask anybody who's in the business of keeping up with, like, school desegregation and things like that, and they'll tell you. They won't hesitate. They'll tell you that this country has been on the fast track to resegregation for a very long time now. And so we are redividing according to race and ethnic lines. Anyway, I'm walking all over what Steve had to say. Let me get back to his words. He said, the long-term strategy, it seems to me, is to focus on universal education as the central issue. The short-term one is to point out in brutal detail why the GOP steals, lies, cheats, and takes advantage of the working class. However, it can't stop there. I've said it a million times. A strategy of merely saying we aren't them will not win elections. We must give people something to vote for. We then pick 3 to 5 issues to hammer and come back to every time. In short, we tear them down and rebuild in our image with our ideas. Yeah. And that opens the door on the much ballyhooed question of so-called identity politics, which has been roundly excoriated in the last couple of weeks, because after all, we wouldn't want to let people who are oppressed know that we actually give a damn whether they're oppressed. Right? I mean, especially because many of them are just kind of small groups. Or smallish. And they're insular. And I mean, it's kind of like being an advocate for the poor. The poor don't vote. The poor seldom vote. And the poor generally are deemed, I'm not saying this, but the poor are generally deemed not to really contribute much to what it is to be merkin. Mm-mm. You know, unless they're poor and can be weaponized by the right wing as some sort of cannon fodder in their culture wars. Anyway, Steve continues, in the 2010 midterms, the GOP had unprecedented massive gains across the nation. This from Wikipedia. The 2010 United States elections were held on Tuesday, November 2nd, in the middle of the Democratic President Barack Obama's first term. During this midterm election year, all 435 seats in the United States House of Representatives and 37 of the 100 seats in the United States Senate were contested in this election, along with 39 state and territorial governorships, 46 state legislatures, 4 territorial legislatures, and numerous state and local races. The election occurred, we said. And it was a disaster. The Republicans got 6 seats in the Senate, 680 seats in legislative races, 26 state legislatures controlled by the GOP, and 29 of 50 state governorships. And that's not an accident. And that's not because America suddenly got tired of... No. I mean, this all goes back a long way to questions of how one reaches voters and how one talks to voters. I've said for a very long time that... Well, never mind that. But look, go back to 1972. Go to the Powell memo. Look at the roadmap that Lewis Powell, right before he was rewarded with a seat on the United States Supreme Court, look at the roadmap he gave the right wing for gaining exactly the control of governmental structures that they now have. Big part of that was that industry had to fund think tanks that would then filter ideas down and support grassroots culture wars. Meanwhile, over on our side, the kazoos merrily played Kumbaya as the bow of the Titanic went beneath the waves. It is, after all, Titanic Tuesday. Right. Mm-hmm. So, food for thought, and yes, it goes back to that. If liberals are so fucking smart, how come they lose so goddamn always? Because Americans don't believe in the message anymore. Because Americans have been fragmented. If they think about Social Security, they think about somebody that doesn't look like them getting it, and it makes them afraid they won't get theirs because somebody who doesn't look like them got theirs. The Republicans have been immensely successful in this. Also had a note from Matt in San Francisco. Subject line there, coming out of the woodwork. Matt says, I work for a national retailer and I oversee stores in 6 western states. Within our first week after opening a store in Nevada, we had a customer who refused to be helped by an African-American associate and stated, I do not want any help from a black person to help me. You need to find me a white person. Yes, it's 2016. And by the way, the store manager is African-American female. Economic anxiety, my ass. Courtesy of Matt in San Francisco. Got a nice note from Peg. Subject line, howdy from the sandbox. I'm so glad you brought up that Prop or Not article from WAPO, Washington Post. That's the name of the anonymous outfit, the shadowy anonymous outfit that has decided to go out and declare who is and is not a Russian dupe. Sleazy as hell. I'm glad you brought up that Prop or Not article from WAPO with the angry Indian. After reading that, I was so angry, I deleted WAPO from all my devices. All the independent journalists I read were all on that list. I'm blocking all Amazon shopping now. The Washington Post has fallen so far since the Bradley days. Maybe Jeff Bezos is scared he'll be sued by the upcoming administration. Thanks for mentioning that. Oh, and we're up early here, and I never turned the PC on until much later in the day. But I was so outraged by that article, I had the PC on at 4 a.m. to delete the Washington Post. This is the beginning of the fiction of Sinclair Lewis's This Can't Happen Here. And it is a truly depressing book. And it looks like it can happen here. Thank you, Peg. Thank you very kindly. And thank you again for supporting the program. So, like I said, it's Titanic Tuesday on the horn. And as a consequence, we will be celebrating some Titanic right-wing intellect. Remember, there is a $100 challenge on the table, courtesy of Bob in Texas, that needs meeting, so that we can finish off the month of November and march boldly into December. Tons and tons and tons of bills to pay. No, really. David in South Carolina, Stan, who had a tough Saturday of it with his beloved Gamecocks, kind of got Clemson. But that's okay. Clemson will get its comeuppance in the playoffs. Anyway, David in South Carolina, Stan, said, subject line, communications. And our side refuses to invest in communications. White wing hate radio, 24/7, 365, brainwashing. Yeah, and I was about to go off down that road, but God, you know, it's like a monologue. I eat a nickel and just start going and you know. But we know. I mean, that's why y'all support this program. That's why you're the only ones who support this program. That's why there's no great big money check coming from George Soros or any of his affiliated organizations. That's why Boss Man Wayne has never ever reached into the Horn mailbox and pulled out a great big whopping check from Barbara Streisand or Susan Sarandon or George Clooney. Okay? Because we don't do that. I'm sure they wouldn't like what we do here. Because one of the operating philosophies behind the Horn when we founded it was that, by God, we were going to give as good as we get. We were going to be as mean to the right wing while being factual. Because, see, that's one of the lovely things about being a progressive, a liberal, whatever. You've actually got the facts on your side. But that we were going to mock them relentlessly. And we were going to show them for the goddamn miserable, heartless, hateful, vicious fools that they are. And we have. But that also goes hand in hand, and I've had it said to me. I said, you know, we really need to create a much more vibrant, a much more robust, progressive broadcast infrastructure. And you know, the response came, and this was years ago. You mean we're going to be like them? Well, to the extent that we're going to participate in the discussion, yes. But to the extent that we're going to rely on made-up bullshit, no. we're going to have the facts on our side. Yeah, I know. But instead, they go in for star fucking and they give $10,000 or $50,000 or $100,000 to get their picture taken with a political candidate who's going to get her ass whooped.
I'm with her.
Jesus, what kind of slogan is that? And yeah, I'm bitter. I'm not ashamed of it. I said long before 2008 that they would beat Hillary Clinton like a redheaded stepchild, like a barred mule when she ran, because they had a machine built to do it with. Now, I know this'll piss off a corner of our community. I actually pity Hillary Clinton. You know, we are not, none of us are the same person now that we were 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago, or at birth. The process of being a human is a process of change and hopefully growth, learning, understanding, comprehension, maybe even enlightenment. And try to imagine what 25 years of being subjected to the most scurrilous lies, the most vicious hatreds, the nastiest, ugliest machinations. What would that do to you? Yeah, not a lot of people would stick around for that. A lot of people would just go and make fucking cookies. But she didn't. And she had a monumental ambition. And people kept feeding it and saying, Hillary, you're going to be, yeah, Hills, you're great. You're going to be the first woman president. There's never been anybody more qualified to be president than you. Not even James Madison, who wrote the fucking Constitution, or Abraham Lincoln. But I knew, and I said it. Way before 2008. And then she couldn't beat the black guy in the primaries whose middle name was Hussein. That might have been a clue. And she comes in and runs this year. And because we have a bad case of the kumbayas in the Democratic Party, we said, oh, this is wonderful. And just assumed that white middle America felt like the people who supported Hillary. Well, they didn't. And they don't. And they hate her guts. For reasons that have absolutely nothing to do with facts. I mean, consider. This was one of those that made me want to, you know, eat dirt and run rabbits, bark at the moon. Supposedly, General David Petraeus, remember when Move On ran that full-page ad in the New York Times and called him General David Petraeus, and then there was a national purple polka-dotted blue screaming hissy fit. How dare they dishonor such a noble, upstanding servant of our American military? Move On must apologize! Remember that? I do. Then it turns out that he did betray us. Yeah, you know, classified information, girlfriend. Move On still hasn't gotten an apology. So, General David Petraeus, who entered a guilty plea last year, just a year ago, to passing classified information, you know, secrets, to his girlfriend, who was also his biographer. Is that what they're calling it these days? Well, yeah, he pled guilty, you know, to a crime. And, of course, he got a little slap on the wrist and a stern talking to with some considerable index finger wagging. Now see here, young general. He actually broke the law. He actually did things with classified information that were quite clearly and strictly forbidden. On the other hand, Hillary Clinton had a personal email server that she shouldn't have. That, you know, it's kind of a dipshitty, stupid thing to do. But she didn't break any laws.
Benghazi!
Right? So the punchline of this whole joke is that General David Petraeus, because he did, is under consideration. No, really. under consideration to be Secretary of State. You know, the cabinet position where it's alleged that Hillary Clinton ran so fast and loose with classified information about Chelsea's baby daughter's birthday. Yeah. Whatever. And I just want to... This is such a classic case of I-O-K-I-Y-A-R. It's okay if you're a Republican. Enter Michael Steele, former chairman of the Republican National Committee, former gubernatorial and Senate candidate in Maryland. He's under contract to NBC, so they made him get up at some crazy-ass hour of the morning to go and flap his gums on Morning Joe. I'm not for certain, but I'm thinking you might want the hockey puck for this. And you might want to get a real good bite, and you might want to take a couple of passes around with the duct tape. Because, oh my. You know, I need to get a sound clip of George Takei saying, oh my, because this is one of those. I mean, just revel. No, really. Bask in the bizarre radioactive glow of the hypocrisy that just emanates from Michael Steele. You ready? Strap in. Oop, wrong button. Stand by. Someday I'm going to have a producer and a staff, and I'll just, like, point a finger, and a clip will start playing, and we'll never hear wrong button again. But anyway, yeah, okay, now we're ready.
2012, Petraeus resigned from a CIA post amid scandal. In 2015, he was given probation for passing along classified information.
Michael Steele, though, General Petraeus going in to see Donald Trump, obviously that provides comfort to a lot of people in the Washington establishment that thought he was going to select other people that were just loyalists before. I mean, as Willie said, the longer this process goes on, the stronger the candidates become.
Yeah, there's truth to that, and I think you're right about how a lot of folks here in Washington are viewing the way this particular process for the Secretary of State is playing out. They're very, very comfortable with Petraeus, despite the hiccup of the issue with the documents and the trial and all of that. He's still held in high regard on both sides of the aisle on Capitol Hill, so his selection would send a very, very strong signal. Not just around Washington, but globally. I think, though, I don't want to miss too much of what's happening with Kellyanne and Mitt Romney. There is a real concern that she reflected back among a lot of conservatives who supported Donald Trump about Mitt Romney taking such a role. And that's one of the reasons why she may have gotten out over her skis, you know, being put to the side a little bit, but also reflecting back that...
Wait a minute. Can we have a art of word knowing moment here for a second? I kind of hate inside the Beltway elite wealth speak. Now, granted, apparently the demographics are such that that's apparently the only people who watch this idiotic program. Back before I was a cord cutter, I watched it. I watched it because, you know, I enjoy politics. I don't know if enjoy is the right word. But ABC was unwatchable. I'd rather watch paint dry than listen to Charlie Rose on CBS. The Today Show is so vapid as to embarrass the word vapid. Okay. But Michael Steele just used a phrase, and maybe it's just because I'm not some little ski bunny. But let's hear that again. Let's back up. I want to. You know what? Let's get it all.
It's truth to that, and I think you're right about how a lot of folks here in Washington are viewing the way this particular process for the Secretary of State is playing out. They're very, very comfortable with Petraeus, despite the hiccup of the issue with the documents and the trial.
Wait a Shumbalaba!
Somebody. Strychnine. The hiccup with the documents. The hiccup with the documents. And what he means by the hiccup with the documents is the crime that David Petraeus pled guilty to when he passed classified secret information to the woman that he was fucking. Now see, I don't use inside the Beltway bubble speak. I use the kind of language that white middle America understands if they don't entirely approve of it. And they don't approve of it unless they're the ones using it. That's the hiccup. Uh-huh. The hiccup. With the classified documents. About, you know, our national secrets. It's a hiccup. Whoop. Oh, shut up and go and change your armor. Hiccup. And you'll notice that Mika, silent as a graven image. Joe. Damn, allergies are acting up. Kostunis! Scarborough. Again, silent as the tomb. Nobody says to Michael Steele, "Hey, Mikey, it's a hiccup when he actually committed a crime, but we had a pants-wetting frenzy for years over things that Hillary Clinton didn't even fucking do, and now Donald Trump is going to be the president because we just gave him millions upon tens of millions of free airtime through Morning Joe? Oh, good. That's some hiccup. Go suck a lemon." But okay, that wasn't it, but yeah. Oh, breaking news according to CNN. Steve Mnuchin will be the next Secretary of the Treasury. Or at least the nominee, therefore. He works for a little bank. Well, he worked for a little banking concern called Goldman Sachs.
Well, I tell you what, them Trumpansies were so upset about Hillary's connections to Goldman Sachs and Wall Street. And Trump was going to drain the swamp. Then, of course, he named a reign of error retread, Elaine Chao, or is expected to be his Secretary of Transportation. You might recall she was the Secretary of Labor under dim leader who didn't care much for people who, you know, do labor. That's some swamp draining. I think the drain hole may be plugged up with Elaine Chao. Just saying. Oh, and then there's the guy who's going to run Health and Human Services. A guy who hates people who have insurance under the Affordable Care Act and has voted time after time after time after time in the House of Representatives for full repeal of the Affordable Care Act. You know, the pre-existing condition thing, the part where kids, 20-somethings can stay on mommy and daddy's insurance, repeal that too, repeal insurance equality for women so that pregnancy isn't treated as a goddamn disease, repeal the exchanges, repeal the subsidies, repeal the Medicaid expansion, all of it. Oh, and he hates gay people. Well, I mean, you can't, really, swamp draining, I mean, D.C. was built on a swamp. If you drain the swamp in D.C., you don't have any D.C. left. As Marty points out, yippers, with that kind of swamp draining, one might drown. Hey, but I want to get back to Michael, because there's that one other phrase.
And all of that, he's still held in high regard on both sides of the aisle on Capitol Hill. So his selection would send a very, very strong signal, not just around Washington, but globally.
Oh, so he's still respected on both sides of the aisle in Washington, so that would send a global signal. With the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini in the White House, how long do you think a man who traffics in all that sham military honor and dignity horse shit. Yeah, I got so much honor, I'm going to go out and kill people. Woo-wee. No, how long would that last in a Benito, you know, trying to answer to a guy who communicates 140 characters at a time and does so petulantly with all the temperament of a two-year-old? Very tiny hands, even for a two-year-old. That he's so. I guess what is he saying, that the Senate hearings, no member of the Democratic minority would even dare to look up and say, Dave, can we call you Dave? How about that little thing where you were passing state secrets to the woman you were having sex with? Is that a problem, Dave? I mean, do you think that should affect our you know, our impression of you, Dave? Yeah. Anyway.
I think, though, I don't want to miss too much of what's happening with Kellyanne and Mitt Romney.
Yeah, because that's ever so much more fun. I mean, that's tabloidy. I mean, that Kellyanne and Mitt, you know, you turn the page and, you know, there's Hillary holding the alien baby. And that's a lot more fun to talk about for somebody like Michael Steele. Because he can run away from it, and if he can just change the subject before anybody can ask him about, by the way, Betrayus and that felony. No, Kellyanne.
There is a real concern that she reflected back among a lot of conservatives who supported Donald Trump about Mitt Romney,
right,
taking such a role. And that's one of the reasons why she may have gotten out over her skis, you know.
There, that. I guess maybe the metaphor doesn't work for me because I don't ski.
water or snow. So when you get out over your skis, is that a precursor to going ass over tea kettle? Is that what we're talking about? That one begins to do the rumbling and the tumbling, and it winds up down in the chalet with a cast on your leg and drinking hot buttered rum with your DC bubble elite friends. That's some populism.
Being put to the side a little bit, but right. Also reflecting back that concern that's out there and giving Donald Trump a warning signal.
But a warning to what, though? They're going to stay with him if he picks. That's a funny thing.
Yeah.
What are they going to do? They go, oh, I'm not going to support Donald Trump because he's picked Mitt Romney. There's not a single person out there.
Yeah, but do you want the noise? Do you really want the noise when you've got there's so many other things that Donald Trump is dealing with?
Donald Trump doesn't mind the noise.
I know.
He doesn't hear the noise. What's more, he doesn't understand the noise. Everything that gets said around Donald Trump is just like a mosquito hum off one side. The only thing that matters to Donald Trump is whatever Donald Trump is thinking, if what happens between his ears can be accurately characterized as, you know, thought.
What do you think he's going to say? Oh, Mike Huckabee.
Donald
John
Trump
Hannity
doesn't mind the noise, Joey.
Doesn't want me to pick Mitt Romney. I'm going to hide under my bed. No.
No, Donald Trump doesn't give a damn. We get that.
Good.
We fully understand that. But everyone else around him does. And it furthers the machinations both inside and outside of the administration if Romney's there. That's the concern a lot of people have.
Well,
it's not as easily dismissed as some would like to dismiss it. There are a lot of people, other than Kellyanne Conway, who have not been vocal about this publicly, who are vocal about it internally. And
I'm not.
Yeah, well, but, oh, that Michael Steele, he is a wily one. He managed to get away with calling mishandling of state secrets a hiccup. Tough interview that those Mika and Joe. Hard hitting journalism. Yeah. True. Gerald pointing out, remember, Bob, the RNC fired Mr. Steele for being too far to the left. Mm-hmm. Of course, also on his watch was the, what was it, the Young Republicans, the College Republicans, youthful fascists, or whatever they call themselves. They got busted using the RNC credit card on strippers. Yeah, that too. So, I mean, that's just one thing, you know, just one thing. Oh, it is about 7 minutes before the hour, and I want to send out thanks to Home Dirts and to Bomasa for answering the call. We've got $80 to go on Bob's $100 challenge, which when... Not 80. $73.33. Oops. $73.33 to go on Bob's challenge. Took me a minute. Had to do the ciphering in my head. But thank you very kindly. So hopefully Bob's challenge will be met, and then we'll finish off the other $145 we have to go to knocking down the fundraising goal. Bob writes in, been a monthly subscriber at $10 a month since September 2013. With the next 4 years looming, I felt it necessary to up my small contribution to $16.67 per month. If I have my cipher in right, that equals $200 a year. If just 365 of us to do the same, we would each be buying a show. even less than 365 technically. I mean, I don't work 7 days a week. I'd love to do more, but being retired and with my Social Security income going up a whopping 0.05%, my Medicare costs far outpacing that rate. It's all I can do. That's a ton. That's a ton, Bob. That's a ton. Thank you. Keep up the progressive campaign, Bob says, especially the fight against privatization of our earned benefits. Thank you, Bob, very kindly. And we're going to have to fight to keep what we have. There's no getting around it. But that is a lovely idea, 365 people at $16.67 a month. That would mean that all those 365 people were covering one show each. And that's a little easier than 400 at 10. I mean, in terms of fewer numbers. So 33 is what we have left to meet Bob in Texas challenge. Thank you. Thank you, Bob, and thank you, Bob. Thank you very kindly. A question coming in from Robert in Australia. Will Post walk down Pennsylvania Avenue? What are the odds that he will? And if he follows tradition, how far will he get? Can we start a pool? Well, I mean, I think we could. It's just a little difficult. I mean, does there have to be a reason behind it, Robert? I mean, like, does he stop because he's suddenly seized by the urge to send out a tweet against someone who has offended him? Or will he stop to go and get a taco bowl? Or maybe because he'll see his black friend in the crowd? My African-American, remember? That's what he said. Remember what a challenge it was to keep up with all the stupid things that Dim Leader said during the Reign of Error? I think that's going to be pressed down and shaken together over the next 4 years. Somebody's going to have a full-time job just keeping up. I don't know, it could be good for the economy. You're going to have to have somebody who just keeps up with his Twitter timeline. Then you're going to have to come up with somebody who will keep up with the stupid things that emanate from his anus-like mouth. I mean, it's going to get complicated real quick. And thank you very kindly to Ralps. Ralps just saved me from a little bit of ciphering. So we now have $50 to go to meet Bob in Texas's challenge. Thank you very kindly, Ralphs. Thank you very, very much indeed. And thanks for knocking out that extra 33 cents. It's a big help. Well, shoot. Asa just pointed out, you just lost all your liberal elitist street cred, Bob. You don't ski. Next thing you're going to tell me is you don't lift a pinky when you bring the stemware up to take a swig of your Chateau Bromont. I thought it was Chateau Marmoset. Well, never mind. I can't say as a... And, you know, I tend to grip my spoon with my whole fist, too, and shovel it that way. Because hillbilly, elitist. But, I'm reminded by Robert in Morgantown, or near Morgantown, that the Commerce Secretary will likely be Wilbur Sago Ross. Yeah, that's real exciting. Why do we call him Wilbur Sago Ross? Because Wilbur Ross owned International Coal Group. Yeah, uh-huh. Have I got the right guy? Because I've got the right Sago. You know, the Sago that blew up and killed, what, 13 men in West Virginia? Because Coal keeps the lights on? Mm-hmm. So, let's take care of this real quick. We need to check in on American economic anxiety. You know, as I've mentioned in the past, the Southern Poverty Law Center, SPLCenter.org, is keeping track of outbreaks of Trumpian economic anxiety. They asked people to respond to an online survey at their website about incidents of hate and violence, bigotry, harassment. Well, 90% of those responding said that the November 8th results had resulted in negative effects on student behavior and mood. 80% of them said they're anxious and concerned about their students. They're particularly worried for their Black, Muslim, and LGBT children and teens. And they're worried about how they themselves and their families will be affected by the election of the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini. All told, the teachers reported something on the order of 2,500 instances of economic anxiety in American schools since the election. And by economic anxiety, I mean cases of bigotry, bullying, harassment, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. The majority of the incidents were taunting episodes involving the nasty things that Benito Cheeto had said during his campaign. Build the wall! Right? That's one of them. Y'all gonna have to go back where you came from. Start packing your bags. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of economic anxiety out there. There's certainly been a breakdown in school culture, and I think many schools are now ripe for incidents. That's kind of disturbing. Maureen Costello said that. She's the director of Teaching Tolerance. There's certainly been a breakdown in school culture, and I think many schools are now ripe for incidents. Yeah, kids are standing up, giving the Nazi stiffy salute in school. They're scratching, gouging, painting, drawing swastikas. They're displaying Confederate imagery. Because economic anxiety. Economic anxiety broke out in Arizona. Yeah. It broke out according to KPNX. Economic anxiety broke out at a birthday party. It was a girl's birthday party. And some of the invitees to the girl's birthday party brought cupcakes decorated Oh, shit. I mean, I have to step back from some of this stuff every now and then because it just blows my mind. They brought cupcakes to the girl's birthday party that had icing swastikas on the cupcakes. And the girls who brought them to the birthday party said they were doing it to be funny. And I'm sure they got a big ha-ha out of it because, see, the birthday celebrant whose party they were attending is Jewish. You know, nothing says, nothing really makes a real knee slapper like bringing swastika cupcakes to a Jewish girl's birthday. God Almighty. Oh, I tell you what, it makes you want to fire up the Lee Greenwood, doesn't it? And I'm proud to be American, where I can bring swastika cupcakes to a Jewish girl's birthday party. Right? And in school, the self-same girls who thought that those swastika cupcakes were so funny, well, they had just completed a lesson unit on the Holocaust. The director of the Arizona chapter of the Anti-Defamation League is Carlos Galindo Elvira. He said, when you joke with symbols like the swastika, you begin to normalize them and make it very casual within our society. Why, yes, Director Galindo Elvira, yes, you do. And, of course, we wouldn't want to admit this or anything, but that's kind of the goal of people like Steve Racist Bannon and Richard Spencer and all that NPI crew who were Zieg Heiling their fool heads off that my buddy Parson Brown told us about personally witnessing last week, weekend before last. Normalizing the swastika has been long been the goal of people like the American Nazi Party. And now that people have so much economic anxiety, well, it just happens to manifest itself in, well, you know, swastikas. Because nothing says I'm worried about the fact that NAFTA took my job and sent it to Honduras like taking a box of swastika cupcakes to a Jewish girl's birthday party. Damn. Yeah. Economic anxiety also broke out on the Facebook page of a young trans woman after she committed suicide. Lizzie Waits, a trans woman in Pierre, South Dakota, and had enough, and she committed suicide. And then, out of nowhere, a Facebook user calling him or herself Oi McVeigh. Ha! Oi McVeigh. With a picture of Donald Trump for his avatar, posted on Lizzie Waits' page, LOL, good riddance. Then someone else by the name of Yaroslav Tipek posted, I'm glad he is gone. Someone else who created a sock puppet account on Facebook called named Donnie J. Trump posted simply the hashtag trans lives don't matter. Another troll, another pro-Trump troll posted, America just became a little bit greater. Presumably because a young trans woman had killed herself. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure economic anxiety made them do all of that. You bet. Damn straight. Hey, Jenny, thank you very kindly for taking us down to $30 to go to meet Bob in Texas's challenge. But see, what you got there in the story out of South Dakota is, well, it's hate speech. And Facebook, as far as I can tell, is perfectly A-OK with hate speech. I mean, come on. Sure. I mean, there's got to be some statistical likelihood that there really is a person out there named Donnie J. Trump who isn't, you know, Benito Cheeto. Facebook is getting creepier and creepier. Let's run over to Germany for a moment, shall we? Berlin, more particularly. On the 78th anniversary of Kristallnacht, a guy named Jore Feinberg, who owns a restaurant in Berlin, found out that he had been included on a map of the city of Berlin that had been published on Facebook by what the New York describes as a far-right group. You know, neo-Nazis. Can you not say it, New York Times? Does it just make you not feel all pretty in your pretty place when you don't, if you say neo-Nazi about neo-Nazis? Or maybe just dump the neo, just call them Nazis. Yeah. This group, I'm sorry, far right group, had posted a map with the names and addresses of businesses, institutions that were owned and or run by Jews. It was titled in bright yellow Gothic script, Jews Among Us. And that's when Mr. Feinberg's phone started ringing, and he would pick up the phone and say, "Hello," and they would say, "I hate Jews." Now, after word of this spread, and remember, Facebook just let it on there. Facebook presumes that neo-Nazis only mean well. But the German government said, no, we have laws about this. We put people in prison for a very long time for even denying the Holocaust. They have prison terms for inciting hatred against minorities. And so finally, Facebook deleted the post and deleted the group. Here's the sad part. Mr. Feinberg as he is referred to by the New York Times, because they are ever so proper. Not Feinberg, just Mr. Feinberg. Said he didn't bother reporting the incident to Facebook. He said, I've reported things to Facebook at least 20 times, and 100% of the time they have refused to take it down. Facebook doesn't do anything. And even after the complaints began rolling in, Facebook dug in its heels. This post complies with Facebook's community standards, they said. And then Facebook's director of policy in Europe, Richard Allen, said, we recognize that this is a work in progress. It was hate speech and it should have been taken down. How about it should never have been allowed to be put up? Here's an idea. How about there is no room in civilized political discourse for goddamn Nazis? Is that too much? I mean, really? I know we've got a long and vibrant history of the First Amendment and free speech in the United States. I know. I'm intimately familiar with the correspondence between Judge Learned Hand and Oliver Wendell Holmes, Jr. And the remedy to bad speech isn't to suppress the bad speech. The remedy to bad speech is more speech. But he wrote that at a time when a radio was the closest thing to mass media, that or a newspaper. And I want to ask, I would like to have a discussion on a very simple point. What political purpose, because political speech is the most prized speech in the country, does Nazi politics serve? What purpose does demanding that non-white people be sent out of the country serve? What redeeming social good is there in that speech? What redeeming social good is there? Arts, politics, what have you. What good is there in arguing that some people are better than other people simply because of the color of their skin? I mention all of this because sometime yesterday, I guess, the tweeter in chief to be suggested that people who burn the American flag should maybe have their citizenship stripped from them. Which, of course, there's a clear line of constitutional case law that says, you know, you can't do that. I even read something over at CNBC earlier today from some jerk who said, Donald Trump sure did punk all them liberals because he got them to take his bait about flag burning. And now everybody goes, the liberals took the bait and they had a hissy. And that makes them defenders of flag burning when everybody knows that Hillary sponsored an anti-flag burning statute in 2005. So there, he punked you. Idiot. But it's true. In 2005, in one of her more panderlicious moments, in conjunction with now dead former Senator Bob Bennett, Hillary Clinton co-sponsored an anti-flag-burning statute. Made it to the floor of the Senate, never got acted on. Here's the thing, though. She didn't suggest that the citizenship of anybody burning the flag should be taken away. But see, that there Trump, he's smarter than we think. It's all a big facade. Which is kind of in line with something that Ron says. Ron in the far... Is it frozen yet, Ron? I've been stewing on something for the past couple of weeks. I'm starting to believe that Trump has a better understanding of the media than we give him credit for. I think he knows that every time the serious media start to do anything resembling investigative journalism, all he has to do is yell, "Squirrel!" And the butthurt left goes nuts. That makes the butthurt right go nuts. Trump is lying. Fights with Trump deserves our respect. Both sides scream, "How dare they?" And the mainstream media jumps to cover it. The dust settles, and then he does another squirrel, and it starts over again. "Fuck me, we're stupid," says Ron. And I think there's some truth in that. But by the same token, his followers aren't. Remember that whole boycott Hamilton hashtag? Yeah, Hamilton made $3.3 million. The most it's ever made, and a pretty damned high mark for any Broadway play. So, thanks, Band in Boston, boycott Hamilton, thanks. In regard to hate speech, Ron says, "Canada has much the same approach as Germany, although we have more bureaucrats, the best bureaucrats, the best bureaucrats in the world other than Switzerland, involved in the process. We managed to find a way to balance the freedom of speech and assembly and so forth, delineated in the Canadian Constitution against speech that incites violence, bigotry, hatred, or worse, against minorities, religious groups, the LGBT community, the disabled, etc. And oddly enough, Canadian civilization has not come grinding to a halt." It can be done, but in this country, we would rather let the Nazis and the Klansmen run wild. You know, until they start putting bricks through windows, we really don't have to worry about them. I mean, until they get complete control of the government and, you know, change the flag to put like a swastika on the blue field instead of the 50 stars, we don't really have to worry about them. Oh, yes, we do. Oh, yes, we do. When they're spray painting swastikas and fag church on Episcopal churches because they happen to be willing to treat gay people who want to solemnize their commitment to one another as human beings, and they get that in return. Yeah, we got it. Yeah. Shh, don't tell anybody. Merca has a Nazi problem. It's not my Nazi problem. It's not yours. It's every Trump voter's Nazi problem. We're resisting. We're calling this shit out. We're opposing it. All those Trump voters, crickets. I mean, I realize I'm setting up a straw man and then I'm going to beat the snot out of it. But let's presume for a moment that you had a Trumpansy and you showed them the story about the girls bringing the swastika cupcakes to the Jewish girl's birthday party because they thought it would be funny. Can you imagine the excuses? And if you looked at him and said, "Well, okay, so like, can you denounce this?" "Well, I don't need to denounce it. I didn't do it. I ain't no Nazi." "Yeah, but you voted with them. They're part of your coalition, sunshine." "Well, not mine." "Yes, yours." "Well, it ain't fair. I was economically anxious and shit." Yeah, that kind of dawned on me too, Asa. Asa says, What's troubling is that all this Nazi propaganda is allowed on Facebook with a self-proclaimed Jew at the helm. Well, there. It's not like, you know, 70, 80 years ago, it's not like there weren't collaborators then, too. That's why I created that hashtag, no collaboration. By the way, economic anxiety broke out in Talibandiana. In Evansville, Talibandiana, a group of freed slaves built a church in 1866, Liberty Baptist Church. It was over the Thanksgiving holiday when a neighbor called the minister of the church, told him the back door of the church had been defaced. The back door of the church had had scrawled on it, kill all coons. The church van had had painted on it the word coons inside. Reverend Todd Robertson said, I've been the pastor here for 17 years and we've never had anything like this. Well, this is not going to slow down because you may recall that in his 60 Minutes interview, Benito Cheeto said, I'll look into the camera and say, stop it if it'll help. Because he knows it won't. These people are handy. These people are useful. Yeah. Ron says, if I lived in West Virginia, I'd be putting the Waterford crystal in a bank vault. Note coming in from our dear friend Joan in Talibandiana. I'm sending $50 now in honor of this day, Giving Tuesday, and I will match the first month's donation of any new subscribers between now and December 15th. Whoa! And I will, Joan says, I'll count on your reporting per email for the total after 12:15. And I will do that, Joan. Thank you. Thank you very kindly. You got that? Every new subscriber gets your first month doubled, courtesy of Joan in Talibandiana. And $50 for Giving Tuesday, because this is Giving Tuesday. Giving Tuesday follows Cyber Monday. And frankly, when you consider how many millions of dollars were blasted into the pockets of right wing media empires in political donations, you know what? It would be really, really nice to get a leg up on all of this and not sweat the bills the way we do here. So with Joan's response, that means we're done with Bob's challenge. Bob's challenge has been met. And it also means that we are only $145 away from being done with fundraising for the month of November. $145 and we're done. So thank you, Joan. Thank you very, very kindly. And thank you all for being willing to support independent broadcasting, independent media. I mean, when you hear that clip from Morning Joe like I played earlier in the program, you kind of realize, I mean, you're damn sure not going to get that kind of stupidity here. And for instance, I had a note from Reverbo about last night, my conversation with Ed Rabel. Reverbo say, I got to say that was one of the best discussions I've heard between you and Ed Rabel last night. Between he and you, everything important was covered within the context of Castro's death. It was so enlightening, I caught it again today on the rerun. Superb radio. And I shared that with Ed. And, you know, I'm kind of hanging on to it, too. Because it means a lot to know that what we attempt to do here, all of us who are affiliated with this little effort, results in something like superb radio. It's an honor. Truly it is. We are at the halfway mark of the program for this Titanic Tuesday, and you know what? I would like nothing better than to have a conversation with our buddy Todd in South Carolina, Stan. Hey, Todd.
Yo, how's it going?
Pretty good. How about you?
Oh, well, I'm not in Canada. I don't have any Sennheiser equipment. But I have other assets. But other than that, you know, I don't know, man. You can talk to your white people, man. I don't get it. I'm coming out the box like that because that's where we are. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more, but, I mean, I don't know if I don't think I'm going to be talking to anybody in this community that needs talking to. I guess that's part of the problem, isn't it, Todd? There's nobody talking to the people who need a good talking to. They're all just getting affirmation and getting smoke blown up their little white asses.
People of color can't do it. They're not going to listen to us anyway at this point. Because it is absolutely unacceptable to have card-carrying Nazis and Klan sympathizers in the White House. This is fucking 2016. I mean, even little school kids know better than that shit.
Well, apparently not, according to the study from the SPLC.
Well, what I will say...
I mean, I'm not trying to be a smartass here, Todd. I get...
No, I understand what you're saying.
I get the point that you're making, but I'm very serious when I say that the only people who are talking to those people, and, you know, God, there I go, are people who affirm their hatreds. The only people they're listening to are people who affirm their hatreds. They're preachers, they're ministers, they're brothers, they're evangelists, and then, you know, whatever aggrieved white person they're listening to on the radio or tuning into while they're seated in their matching Barca loungers on, you know, Fox News.
See, this is where all this bullshit we've been dealing with for the past since Reagan, all this shit has converged. Right? A dumbed down education, a poor economy, globalization, all these things have converged now. And I mean, this is like nothing new to educated people when the economy shrinks or people feel like the economy is shrinking. They look to blame other people. They look to blame someone that's taken my job, someone has done this, someone has done that to me. Why I have to live like this? And see, now a lot of white folks are just living like most black people have lived all the time. And they're not able to handle it.
Well, they don't like it, Todd, because it's a violation of their privilege. But then again, I'm not endorsing the term by using it. And it's used it's used fairly broadly. You know, there's always been that concept of po' white trash.
Well, that served a function.
And you know, those are the people at whom the fingers are pointed for, you know, the real nastiness. I mean, you know, during the heyday of the Klan, you had the Klan, and then you had the guys who wore suits to work and starched shirts, and they were bankers and judges and lawyers and doctors and ministers and insurance salesmen and such. And they, you know, they had the conservative white citizens councils. You know, right. it was the Klan with a necktie that wasn't made of hemp.
Yeah, that's tense.
Yeah. I mean, it was Trent Lott. Remember Trent Lott?
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, my God, with the wax hair. Are you kidding? He would do a photo op in the barber shop. No one had a damn toupee. I had to laugh because it's deep.
But I mean, your point is well taken, Todd. And the thing is, what I think this kind of dovetails with a broader concept, namely that nobody on our side, you know. I mean, for a while there, they billed Ed Schultz as the liberal who can talk to white middle America. Well, he's over on RT. He's over on RT now, and white middle America couldn't find RT on its TV with both hands and a secret Russian decoder ring.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm out here. But, you know, if I get going in front of one of these people, you know, eventually you're one of them liberals. You know, and why? You know why? It's not just race. It's gender. It's environmentalism. It's all the things we stand for. And they feel like, I guess, somewhere along the way, that because we worry about having breathable air and drinkable water, because we think it's not okay to go and celebrate the suicide of a trans woman, because we object
to somebody's daughter or son,
right? Whatever. And because we object to spray painting swastikas on churches, and you know other remarks, that somehow that means that they aren't cared about.
Yeah, see, this is the era of the downtrodden white man. What the fuck? I'm telling you, I know these people. See, it's like I've been telling you now, you know, this is not the first time we've talked, obviously. But when you're black, remember Ralph Ellison's The Invisible Man.
Sure.
That's kind of what he was talking about. See? In a way, maybe in a way not. But you know, when you plod through life as a black person to navigate through Western culture, you have to understand the greater culture, which is quote-unquote white. And you already know your culture. You know, and it kind of gives you an advantage, especially as you move up the totem pole in terms of socioeconomic status and education, blah, blah, blah. So what happens is that you get in these certain positions and then you're doing whatever with your coworkers and like, oh, look at those niggers. And then you look at them like, what? Oh, I forgot, you know, I don't see you like that.
That's what I was talking about with Angry last night. That's that article over at the New York Times about Steve Bannon, okay? Who he was, you know, in the title of that piece at the Times, they were combative populist Steve Bannon.
That's bullshit. Fucking call him what he is. He's a goddamn Nazi.
Oh, but that wouldn't be nice of the New York Times. And they have to be nice. They have to call him a combative populist and hope that all of their elite readers understand that that's code for goddamn Nazi racist Klansman Steve Bannon.
See, and they're scared of black men with big dicks like me. They don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. I really don't. But this is my point. I refuse to use that term alt-right, and we should all, anybody who's listening to this show, who's down with the program, do not use that fucking term. That's bullshit. That's a cop-out. They're fucking neo-Nazi, white supremacist, prejudiced motherfuckers. Now, you can come up with a nice acronym. I'm not in the mood for it right now. Somebody's going to come up with one. And I love post-racial because there's so much you can do with that. And the POTUS is funny, too, but see, there's a lot you can do with the post-racial. You know, because they're going to be showing Birth of a Nation on the goddamn on the side of the Lincoln Memorial after January 20th or 21st. You know, this, we're in some, see, this is what I don't get. How the fuck, you ask these people, right? Well, how are you okay with Nazis being in the White House and an avowed Nazi sympathizer in the White House as the lead consul? It's Consigliere. You know, Steve Bannon, it's Consigliere, is a Nazi. The president elect, his consigliere is a fucking Nazi. Are you okay with that? And it just turned blank. Like, but he says he's going to bring America back. Right. Well, at what cost?
And back to where?
Right. See, that's the other thing. You know, this whole shit, we're moving so far. I remember this shit. You know, when we moved to the suburbs, I had to put up with this goddamn bullshit. Go back to Africa, and I started thinking, well, wait a minute, let's see, history class. Okay, your people came over here, most of your motherfuckers came over here in 1890s and shit. Guess what? My folks are over here making it so you could live. So maybe you need to back the fuck up. You know, that Capitol Dome you see, you know how many black people died making that motherfucker?
That White House? Built by black people. I mean, and even that assertion when, you know, when Michelle Obama made it, drove Bill Fuck It, We'll Do It Live, Falafel O'Reilly so crazy. He said, yeah, but they ate real good, the slaves who built right. The White House.
Oh, and this is anecdotal. There's a woman around the corner. This old white woman was up the street. Okay, I see her all the time when I'm walking my dog. My neighbor, and she used to walk with my neighbor, who's a retired school teacher, the older lady. And she's surprised as she walks. And the woman actually said to her, yeah, you know, slavery wasn't so bad. Maybe we should, and she was nice. The woman claimed she was nice when she was saying it. It wasn't so bad. Maybe we should have slavery again. So,
what do you even do when you hear something like that? I mean,
well, I look at the books I have on my bookshelf, and then I look outside and I look at my books again, and I'm thinking, how do I approach this? And I've been giving this some thought, you know, because of my training, and you can't hit people over the head with it because that doesn't work. That's why you have to ask questions. Ask these people. Why is it okay to have Nazis in the White House? And a normal response would be, what do you mean? And that's when we reply, well, you know that Steve Bannon is a Nazi. And I heard your caller on Monday, which was, I don't know what was going on with your website, but yes, but I heard, you know, I listened to the podcast, and yeah, and that's what I've been reading about Steve Bannon. He's in that he used to have those blonde women around here, and he believes in that vril and all that kind of nonsense. You know, which there's you know, those people who are into that kind of nonsense. But that is so inappropriate. And how can you, there's no way you can make that appropriate. So we have to keep asking. See, in other words, when you ask someone a question, it requires them to think. If you just tell a motherfucker, you're an asshole, you know, that goes nowhere. You know, why are you an asshole? Why do you think it's okay? Why do you think it is okay to have Nazis and Klan sympathizers in the White House? Why do you think that David Duke found it okay to run for Senate in Louisiana, right? And if you know any just a modicum of American history, you understand what New Orleans was about. And the 1/8 and all, you know, the 1/8 drop and all that. Now, you know, come on. See, we are not going to be able to compete on a world stage dealing with this shit. Because I'm telling you, it's going to be some motherfuckers are going to get fucked up. People are not going to put up with this bullshit. there's gonna be some fucking bloodshed. I mean, I'm not on Facebook. I don't keep up with that. I just know people, and I have an ear to the ground. And I've been around, like, the 12 tribes of Israel people. I know some of those folks in Philly, and some of them have money. I know one guy in particular. He has a very nice house in a very prominent area. I mean, like, wow. I mean, he lives in a colonial house. That shit was built in the 17-something, you know. Three stories with a basement, like on a main thoroughfare. And he's, you know, so these people are not, they're not fucking around. I'm not affiliated with them or anything. I'm just telling it like I see it. Just like a couple months ago, I said, well, you know, Woodrow Wilson set it tone. Remember I said that? Remember I said it's going to be some shit. It's going to be like lynching. It's going to be a whole lot of shit. You remember that?
Absolutely.
And remember I said when I went to get my concealed carry, I had a dude said to me, well, you don't really want to do that because they won't care. And look what happened to Philando
Castile.
Right. They shot him dead. And he had all his paperwork was in order. Upstanding individual.
Speaking of which, that was Minnesota. And the trial is now going on for the man who shot Walter Scott. In Charleston, South Carolina, North Charleston.
Mm-hmm.
And he's putting on his defense now, Michael Slager.
Yeah.
He's taking the stand in his own defense. He did so today. How you don't object to a question like this. His defense attorney, Andy Savage, said, when you shot him, were you filled with ill will or a depraved heart? And Slager said,
"That's the best he could do."
And Slager said, "No, I was not."
Oh my God!
Now, bear in mind, you know, he's on video, dummying up the murder scene.
That's see, Bob. Thank you. Fucking. That's my goddamn point. I said that to you before. I'm getting loud now. I don't give a fuck. Listen, this is worse to me in my mind. This is what's fucking worse than him actually killing the guy in my mind. Why would he think it's okay to fucking take that taser and drop it next to the body?
Well, here's let's take a moment here, shall we?
You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, I do. But I mean, let's take a moment here. Now, let's say black guy kills white man in South Carolina. They do have the death penalty in South Carolina, don't they?
Oh, they like to kill him.
Well, so black guy kills white man. He's going to be facing him some death penalty, isn't he?
Quickly.
Slager faces a maximum of life in prison if convicted.
Okay. Now I have a little caveat to that. I totally understand that, and this goes back to the Baltimore situation. I've learned this. I've had some heavy charges against me, and I've seen things spin out. And what happens is that that's what spin out means. You got to wait for things to spin out. But when you overcharge, you only get one bite of that apple. So, like in Baltimore, they charge the wrong people. They should have charged the bicycle cops because those are the ones who fucked that guy's neck up. You know, and the paddy wagon ride was ancillary to that. But you overcharge and you don't get it, because if you charge murder, that means premeditation. There's a whole lot behind murder. It's not, you know, it's not as simple as a lot of people think. Manslaughter, they can probably get. Am I making any sense here?
Well, yeah, but there's only one problem unless something is radically different in South Carolina from other jurisdictions. Whatever you've charged, when it gets around time to instructing the jury are often instructed that they can convict, if they can't find murder one, they can convict on murder two. And if they can't convict on murder two, they can convict on murder three. And they'll instruct the jury all the way down to manslaughter. I'm sorry, manslaughter.
Well, if that's the case, then why are all these people getting off?
Well, here's one. For anybody who wants to go out and put a fin on the outcome of this trial, the jury in State versus Michael Slager is comprised of 11 white folks and one black person.
Right. Yep. Yep.
I wouldn't bet the fin myself.
I hate to sound like this, but I mean I can't help it because I've been around. I purchased a car very near the area at a place called Hanahan, which is just above North Charleston. And, I mean, I've been through that intersection in that area a lot. And, you know, that's some fucked up shit. There's no white people that live in that area right there. That's a black area. That's an underclass black area. Okay. North Charleston is like...
Yeah, but that doesn't mean by definition that it is, as Donald Trump described, a living hell.
Oh, you know what? You know me. Now, all the time, I don't try to make things racial all the time, but sometimes it's just, we got to stop this nonsense. This shit, it starts at the top, it sets the tone. But you brought up, let me ask you something, because we hadn't talked in a minute. This tweet, going back to Hamilton. Now, when I saw that tweet that Trump sent out about Hamilton, I really thought, it was late at night, and I was just going, reading the paper like I like to do, reading the paper online. And the tweet came up, and I said, oh, that's Alec Baldwin making fun of Trump's tweet.
Yeah, no.
But do you get me? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, it was so out there. It was difficult to conceive that it was real.
That an individual who's supposed to be going into the White House is engaging in this type of nonsense.
Yeah, no, it's kind of shocking. We're going to have but sooner or later it had to happen. I mean, this is the infinite monkeys with infinite typewriters, and one of them writes Hamlet situation. Sooner or later, we were going to get an internet troll for the president of the United States. My God, it kind of makes you wish, I don't know. Can you imagine if Barack Obama had been out there trolling white supremacists for the last 8 years?
See, this is what I'm saying. Apparently, I don't know, white America has fallen asleep. Because we've had just black and white issues. I don't mean racial black and white, just very plain issues of what white privilege is. Just like your caller, last night was talking about with the folks with flak jackets or protection on and guns. And I remember that. And then we got the Bundy boys. I mean, they were in prone positions, the Bundy boys. They were in prone positions, right? The black people could not do that. They couldn't even, I mean, way back in the 60s, that's when Reagan and the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, when they were just having unloaded weapons out, long guns, which was legal. Reagan freaked out. It was like, oh, shit, niggas can't have no goddamn guns, what the fuck? And that was the end of that. But see, we have to come to terms. We have to have a discussion, which nobody wants to have. And the fact, maybe it was too soon to have a black president. And he wasn't that damn black. He didn't do shit for black people, period. He was handcuffed most of the time he was in there. And they said, well, he had 2 years. Yeah, but you look at the congressional schedule.
No, that's bullshit, really, because how long did it take before Al Franken was actually certified to be the 60th member of the United States Senate from the Democratic Party?
Oh.
A, and B, but B, the other thing is that 60-vote majority was a 60-vote majority made up of Joe Manchin and Blanche Lincoln and Ben Nelson, okay?
Right.
Who would as soon have voted with Republicans as breathe.
Yep. Exactly. Yep. And then people didn't show up midterm. You know, the often see, and I like what you're on. What Steve read that email, and you know, and I'm totally on board with that. That's see, we have to emulate what the Tea Party did, even though they had funding. That's what we have to do.
But that means everybody getting on board with the and going in the same direction.
We have trouble with that for some reason.
Well, if you ask me, and you sort of indirectly just did. It's because we have been forced for so long to battle within our own issue zones. Okay, I mean, I know a lot of people inside the struggle against mountaintop removal, and that's what I use because that's what I know.
Mm-hmm.
And we go to great lengths to make sure that we are not sexist. That we are open to gender, that we are open, and I would dare say that most groups will say that they are too, okay, or that that's the way the teaching that they've received has gone. But we've got to figure out a way structurally, processually, to incorporate. Maybe. And I'm just, you know, theorizing off the cuff here. Maybe it begins with making overt efforts of inclusion every time one action group regarding one issue is working on something of vital importance. Maybe they take just a little tiny bit of capacity and reach out to other groups. Say, reach out to labor, reach out to the environmentalists, reach out to the black community, et cetera, and say, please come and help us with this. Maybe it even goes so far as to fund what they like to call scholarships so people can come and participate. Okay?
So that sounds like coalition building.
That's exactly what it is.
Well, I'm a firm believer in that. That's all I believe in, Bob. That's our only hope.
But by the same token, I was reading an article yesterday because I've been paying as close attention as I possibly could to what's going on out in North Dakota.
Oh.
I read a report and I took it with a grain of salt because it came from the Washington Times.
Oh, yeah. Well.
But it was talking about, you know, privileged white people showing up out at the Ocheti Sakowin camp and the Standing Rock Water Protection Action generally, and this is the word from the article, treating it like Burning Man or some other festival.
No, don't trivialize it. This is serious shit. That's fucked up. See,
that was depressing, Todd. And, you know, various groups have various, you know, I'm told that up in, like, Madison, privileged young white kids who walk around with blonde dreads and affect ethnic styles, and by ethnic I don't just mean black, I mean, you know, just sort of glomming onto all kinds of things that they're not, the word they have up there for them is Trustafarians.
Right. I understand what you're saying. I understand.
And, right. meanwhile, the people at Standing Rock continue to say, we want people to stand with us. We welcome people. But even the chairman of the Standing Rock tribe, Dave Archambault, said, you know, there are going to be real problems. We got people digging latrine pits. And he said, when the floods come, all that stuff's going to be washed out and into the river.
Guess what? That's nothing compared to one oil leak. No.
Well, that's the absolute truth. That's the absolute truth.
That shit doesn't go away. We talked about these benzene rings. I mean, that shit will. It's not like, well, maybe it will give you cancer, maybe it won't. No, that shit will give you cancer. You know. There's so much water out. I mean, when it rains, that's going to be diluted. Come on, it's not that many people. It's not going to give anybody cholera.
There's thousands of people been in and out of there.
Well, you know what? Nature has a way.
But toward the larger issue of coalition building, man, I would love to see a whole bunch of hillbillies and a whole bunch of black folks and a whole bunch, people from the LGBTQQQ community out there. I don't know that they aren't.
I think a lot of people are out there in spirit. I'm telling you, because people are this is about water. And number one, and you know what? I've been doing a little bit of research, and I'm a little bit fucking confused, because the research that I've done indicates that not one, but at least two court decisions have already been decided in favor of the natives. That's their fucking land. I mean, this goes way back.
There was a treaty signed in 1851, and all of that land, though, according to the Treaty of 1851, all of that land is unceded, C-E-D-E-D. In other words, it's not a reservation, but it's also they didn't give up the rights.
Right.
It is the property of the Great Sioux Nation.
That's what I'm saying. Because they're nomadic people. And then there was another one later on. Because remember, that was one made when they got moved because of the transit. This is how one of the reasons it started, because I watched that documentary again because it's so wonderful about the Transcontinental Railroad, which is a wonderful documentary. You know, it's America, man. That just tied us together. That was the end of the wild.
Well, let me throw something out there for your consideration, just because the goddess of irony never sleeps.
What?
Okay, so you know that the Army Corps of Engineers delivered an eviction notice.
That I do.
On the day after Thanksgiving. Because clueless. You know, on the day after a celebration of a time when Native peoples saved the white asses of colonizers, and the white people decided to have a celebration feast because they'd killed some different other Native people. On the day after the commemoration of that, they delivered an eviction notice to Native American people on unceded Native American land. One. The eviction notice stated...
That's just part of it, huh?
Yeah.
That's just part of it.
That's just part of it. Because the eviction notice stated that everybody was to be out of that camp by December the 5th.
Right.
Right? Well, guess what? December the 5th is the birthday of George Armstrong Custer.
No.
Yes.
Oh, it ain't fuck. No.
It really, really is.
You know, they just won't stop. They just will not stop with this incessant bullshit.
Really and for true.
These people, man, I just don't. And was Sacagawea on the Lakota Sioux?
I'm not sure what she was. She was married that by then to a man named Charbonneau. And they had a little baby named Jean Baptiste. And oddly enough, where they met Sacagawea, and the pronunciation I'm probably butchering, but was kind of right up there, because they met her and hooked up, and went forward with her from what they called from what Lewis and Clark and the Corps of Discovery called Fort Mandan. All of that is under all of that is underwater now because of dams that were built and flooding that was done. And see, what's happening here with the pipeline is part of a continuum. In the 1950s and 1960s, the Army Corps of Engineers set about flooding the hell out of some of the best land that indigenous people still had in the Dakotas. To the point that the actual site of the Mandan and Hidatsa villages and Fort Mandan itself are now underwater.
See, I don't like that. I mean, that's a critical part of our history.
And all of that was done in the name of flood control. When, in point of fact, you only need flood control if stupid people have built their houses in floodplains.
Right.
And, exactly. And now, with climate change, of course, things that were never floodplains before are. So those people are not stupid people. They didn't used to be floodplains. But the fact of the matter is, the problem that things like flooding the damming the Missouri River created were created because of things white people did in the first place.
Exactly.
I mean, the eviction notice, my God, the eviction notice for December the 5th cites the dangers to protesters from the harsh North Dakota winters. Just let that rattle around for a minute.
It doesn't have to rattle.
The Dakota people, the Lakota people, the Hidatsa people, the Mandan people, the Blackfeet people, the Ojibwe, all have lived in those harsh winter conditions, you know, only for about 10,000 years.
They might know a little bit about it. You know what I mean? Maybe they do. Maybe they know how to build a nice big teepee that has a fire in it that stays 50 degrees in the middle of winter when it's 30 below outside. Maybe they do. Otherwise, they wouldn't be procreating. Come on. That's
just or, you know, but, you know, and great big warm fluffy buffalo robes. Man, those white people in the Corps of Discovery and the black guy were awfully happy to have those buffalo robes. I can promise you that, Todd.
Hey, you know what? So that brings us. I love this term full circle because now we're dealing with. You know what? Honest to God, I don't think this man child is going to make it. I think he might do 90 days.
Oh, I don't think he's. I don't think he's as healthy as he says he is. That's why we got that dummied up hippie doctor report during the campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's got big beautiful health. It's straight out of Welcome Back, Kotter. You know, Epstein couldn't be at school because Epstein had the flu yesterday. Signed, Epstein's mom.
Yeah, Mr. Trump wrote that note and he just paid the doctor or whatever it is. You know, he gave the doctor some hookers, and the doctor was like, okay, I'll sign it. You know, whatever. Excuse me.
But on a personal note, by the way, I'm trying to remember the black man's name who was on the Corps of Discovery. Somebody's looking it up right now.
Jim.
No, it wasn't Jim.
No, what?
When they once they got away from white civilization.
By the way, I've said this to you before, but I can't help it. That is the true Americana story. That is the American story.
Well, it is when they got away from white America, they did things democratically and they voted on stuff. And guess what? He had an equal vote.
That's what I'm talking about. That's exactly what I'm talking about. That was like going out of space. Can you imagine? And then they brought the shit back. Jefferson was like, oh, my God, look at all this great shit.
Oh, and by the way, I don't know why I didn't remember this. Ron and Raleigh reminds me Sacagawea was a Shoshone woman.
Okay, Shoshone. Okay.
And Jack in Shreveport says, subject line, harsh winter. If the authorities are so concerned about the protesters being in the harsh winter, why the fuck did the authorities douse them with water in the freaking cold?
I don't know, but that's not funny. Wait a minute. What is up with these redneck-ass law enforcement, man? They're just too damn punitive. That's some Jim Crow bullshit. See, this is what I'm talking about, man. We got these people are all trumped out. They're drinking the Kool-Aid. You know, you can't make people be the way you want them to be. I understand that. But why do you have to be such a dick with it? I mean, a dick like that. Just a fucking dick. We're talking about fresh water. Pipes leak.
And then lied about it. Ass. Oh, they were only putting out the fires that the protesters started. The protesters had some warming fires that they started in order to warm people up to keep them from falling into hypothermia after they got doused with the water cannons. Meanwhile, I sat there and watched it all happen. Meanwhile, they're lobbing grenades out there, and the grenades catch the grass on fire, and the water protectors had to go and put those fires out because they never aimed their water cannons at the fires that they started.
No. And then they're laughing at the people, and then they threw a flash bomb, just like they, you know, they do down here in the poor black neighborhoods. They'll throw a flash bomb grenade, you know, the stun grenade thing, and it tore up that woman's arm.
You saw the photos,
down to the bone. That's what I'm saying. I mean, what the fuck, man? People are.
And I tell you what, if you go watch one of the feeds over there. The trolls are all over it. They're scared to damn death. I mean, it really does say something. They're beginning to get nervous.
Well, you know what? I will say this. At this point, Bob, either we're going to coalesce and figure out that this is a new era. This is some new shit that we're in. And the coalition building between enlightened people. I don't give a fuck what your religion is. I don't care how big your dick is. I don't care what you do with your dick. It doesn't matter. It's like good people against bad people. What do you stand for? What do you stand for?
It's what got sang 100 years ago in these hollers, Todd. Which side are you on? Which side are you on?
And I have one question. How did you get Rabels on that show last night? Because that was the shit.
How did I get Ed Rabel?
Yeah.
Yeah, I said, hey, Ed, will you come on the program? And he said, sure, Bob.
Okay, the reason I asked this is that I remember when I spent that 1 year in Kensington. In that terrible neighborhood in Philadelphia. That was the first time I'd ever seen that Afro Curry Bay folks. And see, they hang together. It doesn't matter what your complexion is, it's about the language. You know, it can be dark, light, it doesn't matter. They all speak Spanish. And I'd never seen that because when I was growing up, you didn't go on that side of town because that was where the poor Irish people were. You were just going to fight. So. That has changed, and you see, that's what a lot of people don't understand unless you go to Miami or you spent any time there or you know maybe you had a university education. You don't understand that there was a reason. You know, even if you watch documentaries, come on, what's his name? Oliver Stone covered this in his Untold History.
Yeah,
what is that? Yeah, see. Batista was in bed with the capitalists over here and the mobsters, right? And he was doing the same shit they accused Castro of. However, Castro was like, everybody's going to be equal. Fuck that.
Well, and see the aggrieved. The aggrieved, cranky Cuban exiles, as they call themselves exiles, They didn't care what Batista did to anybody as long as he didn't touch their wealth and their privilege. So they were a classic example of igumfu, you know, I got mine, F you, and NIMBY, not in my backyard, only with a Caribbean beat.
That's it.
But then once it touched them,
so the reason I brought that up is because of Fleet and Joe. I started watching that again because I have a link, and I don't know, maybe you can watch the reruns online. I don't know, but they're shameless. Those motherfuckers are out of control now. It's come out that Flating Joe has been given Trump consult behind the scenes.
Oh, yeah.
And so I don't know what that's about, but, you know, we have to keep an eye on these people because they had Soledad on there. Remember Soledad O'Brien?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, she was on there, and they had her out there. They had two. They had Costa. What's his name? I don't know. They had two Cubano Blancos, right? And she's like Cubano Negra, right? And so she was trying to explain how it's complex, and it is because I never really I had a good education, but until I got to college and if you go into a certain track, maybe you learn. But unless you do that, you don't really get to know the nuance about how there's a difference in Castilian Spanish and the other Spanish. And see, there's black people all up and down in the Western Hemisphere. There's black people in Mexico. There's black people everywhere, you know, because of slavery and different reasons, you know, because...
That's how Creole mestizo culture came about.
Right.
The mixture between whites, the intermarrying, interbreeding, because, you know, the church and everything. But, you know, interbreeding between white Spaniards, the native population, and the people of African descent who were brought over when the natives wouldn't cooperate. Oh, go ahead, kill us. I mean, they killed 20 million people in Mexico alone. It rises to 100 million when you consider the entirety of North America.
Yep.
I mean, I've heard one story coming out of, for instance, North Dakota, of white folks showing up there with donated blankets. And there are still, you know, there are still memories passed down generation to generation that you don't accept a blanket from white folks.
Man, that's a little bit culturally insensitive. I don't know.
It's not insensitive. It's clueless.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's got lost in the sauce. I thought I was talking to, you know, dude on the corner. And he's like, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, shit. You know, I'm trying to get a bag of weed, you know, and dude is like, I was like, damn, you know, I'm out of my element here. And, you know, that's who they hang. And see, remember, in Brazil, you choose your ethnicity. You could be black as coal, but you call yourself white and you're white. See, everything, the slavery has just twisted the whole Western Hemisphere. And remember, look at Haiti, right? That's why they're so fucked up, because they threw off the yoke of the European dominance early on. And you see, they're still the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere because of that shit. And they still speak French. Even though they kicked Napoleon's ass, they still speak fucking French. But you know what? We had to fight against Goebbels in the White House, man. I just read this news story where there's some, out of Cuba, they're doing the cloning. And it appears that the president-elect is holding out for Surgeon General because it appears that Joseph Mengele will be available for the position.
Jesus.
Now, see, that's a joke, but you know what? They would do some shit like that. That's what we're moving to. This is what I'm saying. How the fuck do these goddamn white people not fucking connect the goddamn dots? Bannon is Goebbels. I mean, what the fuck? We've seen this shit. You knew Hillary wasn't going to win. You were like, you hated to go against that. You were like, hemming and hawing. You knew that shit wasn't going to happen. Motherfucker said it was rigged. I was like, yeah, but it's rigged in his favor. That's what he's telling me. See, evil people will tell you what they're doing. Evil people will tell you to your face what they're doing.
It's like that clip, you know, when Milo Yiannopoulos and Steve Bannon get together on the radio and declare that fully half of the Republican base is, you know, alt-right, which is a bullshit term.
We're not using that term anymore.
But he said, you know, half of the Republican base is, and probably a lot more than that. When they tell you they're Nazis, please believe they are Nazis.
See, I'm about to fucking throw up. I could not, in Washington, D.C., what was that, last Saturday? Here was Heil Hitler in Washington fucking D.C.
Well, Heil Trump, actually. Heil Trump, but, you know.
Heil Trump. Okay.
I mean, I wonder if they're going to be, you know, it's time for the war on Christmas, Todd.
Oh.
I wonder if they're going to insist that we start saying Heil Christmas.
I said happy. I saw my redneck neighbor the other day. And he lives around the corner, and you know, in his little fucked up ass brick house that he can't trim the goddamn hedges, and my shit is all neat, and he can't stand it. Fuck him. So I said, I see him. I'm getting my nice food or whatever for Thanksgiving, and I say Happy Holidays, and he goes in his, why can't you just say Happy Holidays? Yeah, and I just looked at him, and I shook my head left to right. I just looked at him. I said, okay. And next time I see him, I'm going to fuck his ass up. I'm going to pull some Wagner's English on. I'm like, well, you know, maybe. Because I already know this is a Fox News consuming asshole. So I'm going to say, well, maybe, you know, I might not see you again until the new year. And this is the holiday season. Do you know what plural means? Happy holidays. Maybe I'm trying to say happy Thanksgiving, happy Christmas, and happy New Year all at once. Without having to say all those things. Did that occur to you?
You hate Jesus, don't you?
No, I'm not going to do it because he'd pull out his gun and shoot me dead. But, you know.
I know. Well, but I mean, not. I think that's a legitimate question. Do we have to say Heil Christmas now?
See? What the fuck?
Heil Holidays. Heil Holidays, y'all.
Oh, Bob. Did you leave it? It's a cowbell, man.
Oh, well, thank you.
No, this shit, how is this shit appropriate? This is not appropriate. That's what I'm saying. When I started off, you white people need to tell your relatives, man, when they get together, look, you don't have to start an argument. Just ask them a question. Why is it appropriate to have a Nazi person advising the president? Why? How? And if you think it's appropriate, why do you think it's appropriate? You know, don't say you're a dick, you're an asshole, you know, even though you might be thinking that.
Oh, and by the way, the New York Times had a nice little hand-wringing article by Sidney Ember on November the 28th. You know, yesterday, headline, news outlets rethink usage of the term alt-right.
Oh, a little late, aren't they?
Because this is, you know, this is a case of log rolling. This is the New York Times writing an article about an article in the Washington Post. When the Washington Post published a profile last week of Richard B. Spencer, a prominent leader of the so-called alt-right, Readers were quick to respond. By Monday, the article had drawn more than 2,600 comments. Many of them had a similar message. Please, please stop referring to a white Christian supremacist movement as the alt-right, a phrase that sounds like a subgenre of rock music. Another message said, stop calling them alt-right. They're racists, white supremacists, Nazis. And the article proceeds from there, and you have to go all the way down, and it's a long one, before you get to the statement that, let me see where,
Damn, you're all the way down.
Yeah, in 2014, Dean Baquette, the executive director of The Times, wrote in a post on the newspaper's website that The Times had recalibrated its language and would henceforth use the word torture to describe incidents in which we know for sure that interrogators inflicted pain on a prisoner in an effort to get information. Okay, so we know they know how to do that. But meanwhile, the New York Times, as the article notes, has not decided not to use alt-right. The New York Times has had many conversations about the
term. Not decided not to use?
Yeah. The New York Times has had many conversations about the term, but has not banned it, said Phil Corbett, the Times Standards editor. Reporters are encouraged to explain what the term means rather than use it as a label, he said. Oh, so that means a reporter can say, yes, they call themselves alt-right, but they're Nazis? No, I don't think that's going to get past the, blue pencil, Todd.
I'm feeling like you want to. I know I got to go in a minute, but listen.
Not trying to run you off.
This is. Okay. Well, see, there's a whole lot of things running around in my. You know, and I can't help. Sometimes I know I come off like I know everything, but I can't help it, man. I've had, if I die tomorrow, I've had more experience than anyone. I've had a lot of fucking experiences in my life. I've done a lot of different things. I've been around a lot of different types of people. You know, I mean, seriously, the folks that have more China than we'll ever see in our lifetime. I mean, it's crazy. And then, you know, I can stand on the corner and smoke a blunt and drink a 40 or rock gut. Or the best of them. So I get to see a lot. But this shit here that we're dealing with, and the fact that people now, this whole anti-intellectual thing, if you don't want an intellectual, then let's break this down. Anti-intellectualism. Okay, fine. You don't like smart people because they're, you know, they think they're better than you or everything. Oh, I don't like them. Well, can you balance a budget? Well, I don't know. Okay, fine. Can you do?
Yeah, the United States, like I said the other night, the United States just sent a satellite into space to better predict where tornadoes are going to develop, and they sent it into space for the benefit of people who don't even acknowledge the reality of the science that sends satellites into space and think that tornadoes happen because God is mad at someone.
You mean like that place in Missouri where they keep getting hit like every fucking year they just get wiped out? What starts with a J?
Joplin. By the way, the black man on the Corps of Discovery with Lewis and Clark was York. Thank you very much to Bill in Montana.
York.
Yes. Oh, by the way, wait a minute. I got it to cowbell. One of them going out to Michael in Madison with me saying Heil Holidays. Michael said, I thought we were going to say all holidays matter this year. Cold, Michael. Cold.
I'm liking that Heil Holidays. I mean, if it wasn't so sick. But it's
Heil Holidays, y'all!
Well, you know what? I just...
We're not going to have... We're not going to have good Hochdeutsch Nazism here. We're going to have redneck hillbilly Nazism. Redneck hillbilly fascism. Heil Holidays, y'all.
Now, I have to say this. I have not seen it yet. I think maybe, I'm only speculating because I didn't grow up here, but I think people maybe, you know, judging from history in South Carolina, maybe they know how bad it can be. Maybe they're restraining themselves. Right. But I'm going to tell you, Pennsylvania is fucking as racist. But you get out into the hinterland.
Oh, no. Rick Smith has been schooling me for a long time on that.
You know, it's bad.
Philadelphia in the east bad. And Pittsburgh in the west mm-hmm. and Alabama in the middle.
Oh, yeah. Yep. It's just like
meanwhile,
that.
Matt out
just
in...
like that, too.
Matt out in San Matt out in San Francisco, you got to check this out. Just sent this to me. Authorities in the Bay Area have arrested one of three white supremacists for the murder of a 28-year-old black man. William Sims was found shot to death on the street in El Sobrante, California, around 2:11 a.m. November 12th. He was pronounced dead at the scene. Everyone is devastated, as you can imagine. It's such a loss and tragedy. And for it to happen the way it did, family spokesman friend James Harris said, according to the East Bay Times, for whatever reason, somebody or some group didn't like him. 4 days after Sims was found, 31-year-old Daniel Porter Kelly, also of Richmond, California, was apprehended and charged with murder, robbery, and hate crime enhancement. Two other men, 32-year-old Ray Simons and 31-year-old Daniel Ortega, remain at large. Ortega's mother, 54-year-old Renee Brown, was jailed on charges of being an accessory and tampering with evidence. Jesus.
See?
Now, are we supposed to refer to them? I mean, I just need a little help here. Are we supposed to refer to them, Todd, as alt-right? I mean, that publication, The Vibe, refers to them as white supremacists. Should they more, is the proper, I don't know, get the style book out. Is the proper reference for them now white nationalist?
No. That's another euphemism. No. That's like single payer. I'm not fucking with that shit either. Fuck that. See, we're terrible at naming things. Those assholes on the other side, they're very good at it. They're saying, this is the Family Protection Act. You know, what does it really mean? It means we're going to kill your fucking kid. That's what that means. I mean, this is just how they do shit. See?
Clear Skies Initiative, more pollution. Healthy Forest right. Initiative, cut more trees down.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
You know it.
No, I do.
You fucking know it. Now, wait a minute. I think Richmond, I'm thinking that's Northern California. That's where those goddamn...
That's the Bay Area.
Oh, that's the Bay Area? Okay. Well, yeah, you know.
We got a very good friend in Richmond.
Well.
And he's there most every night and has been a longtime supporter of the program, so yeah.
He knows, you know, California's huge. But you know, and this, let me tell you something. This is interesting what I have in my hand right now. I got a letter from the South Carolina Election Commission. It says, notice of disposition of voter registration application. The county, blah, 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 is unable to process your voter registration application for the following reasons. And it has a hand check. I mean, this is someone wrote with an ink pen. Original application not received from agency where application was completed. Now, never engaged in any type of paperwork. It has anything to do with this shit. So, now I'm wondering, did my vote count? This is dated November 22nd.
I'm guessing no. But I think you're going to have to follow up on it to find out.
Why am I getting this shit? You know, I'm on a bunch of lists. I don't know if you already knew that. But, yeah, when I go to fly, I'm basically in my box. They take me to the back. I was stripped and everything because of my union activism, and I've been outspoken for a number of years. So, you know, I'm okay with being harassed or whatever, you know, monitored. Shit happens.
Well, just for God's sakes, don't get on a plane and say, salam alaikum or anything. Or inshallah. Now, if you want to stand up, if you want to stand up in the plane and holler, "We got any Hillary bitches here?" You'll be okay.
Yeah, your caller, he hit it on the head with that. See, that's what the fuck I'm. Listen, if I did some shit like that, are you kidding? Are you fucking kidding? That's what I'm saying. It's like, I'm not a violent person. I'm not going to be the one doing it. I'm old. I'm halfway done. If I die tomorrow, I'll be cool. I'll be cool with that. Whatever. I had a charmed life. I'm just telling you, these young people don't give a fuck. They know they don't have shit. And now they're seeing this nonsense. And they already gave up on the system. They don't give a fuck about getting locked up. That's like a social club. They don't give a fuck about getting arrested. So, what I'm saying is that unless this asshole from the fucking bully pulpit says, "It has come to my attention," you know, make a very good speech denouncing these folks that are enamored by his shit. Which I doubt will happen because his fucking consigliere is a goddamn Nazi. So it's like he's talking out of both sides of his head. It's like, well, I don't know anything about those people, and I just stop it, Leslie Stahl. I'm saying, just stop it. I'm telling those people. I'm looking right in the camera. Just stop it, please. Just stop it.
Yeah.
Okay.
If that'll help.
Because I know they just need to settle down. Yeah, that's all. And I can't break any laws because I'm president. I'm Nixon.
If the president does it, it's not illegal. So you're in South Carolina. It hasn't gotten too ugly to get out at the smoker, has it?
You know what? Today it's raining right now for the first time in a month. I've been doing
which is kind of a good thing, seeing how Gatlinburg just burnt down.
Listen, it hadn't rained so long. The dog was like, "What the fuck is that?" It rained.
It's actually been pretty dry around here. We got some rain in the last 24 hours, but we know it's getting dry here. It's sort of a screwed up situation, and more times than not, it's a problem. This house was sited on the highest point of land on this acre, and it's got a basement, and the basement sits on top of a spring. So it's nothing for us. It is nothing for us to have 2-3 feet of water in the basement.
Really?
Basement's dry right now.
Is it cinder block?
Yeah, it's not finished basement. It's unfinished. But the basement's dry right now.
That's not good, probably. I don't know.
No, it's not good. I mean, you
still have a cistern?
We do. It's not functioning, but we do.
Yeah,
this house was a model of sustainability back when it was built. It had a two-stage block cistern, one in the ground, one above the ground, so it created a gravity feed. Every building on the property had gutters, and they all ran into the cistern, and that provided water for the washing machine, water for bathing. But not, you wouldn't drink or cook with it, but you could do dishes with it.
But that's great. That's beautiful. Man, a big rainstorm, it's amazing how much rain you can catch. It really is.
Yeah, it is. But, I mean, it's been gone for years now. I mean, the top cistern just, the block crumbled, and this was back when my parents had it torn down because it was becoming a hazard. I mean, they started worrying about it when I was a little kid because the first time I came up here, I went toddling up to that above ground part of the cistern and started trying to climb it. Because it's there. But yeah, the Southeast is getting very, very serious fire wise. But of course, there's no such thing as climate change because it's a vast Chinese hoax in conspiracy with a whole bunch of scientists who don't even know each other to destroy the manufacturing potential of the United States, you know, according to the guy that the white supremacists elected president.
Thank you, Bob. You brought me back full circle again. That's kind of where I was going before I got sidetracked with some other stuff. See, it's like I listen to these people, man. I listen to a lot of people. I just let them talk and I listen, because if you don't listen, you can't learn.
Bingo.
You can't. Right. We have to listen. And they said, well, give him a chance. Give him a chance. I'm like, okay, fine. I will give this guy a chance. I mean, he's already shown us he's mentally ill. I mean, we know. Listen, this guy's 2.5 standard deviations into his head. I mean, that's just a, if you. Anyway, I know that as because of my degree. I know that. But what I'm saying is that it all right, fine. Look, you know, let's move beyond it. You know he is. Let's move beyond that. Okay. So, okay, fine. We'll give him a chance. Look at the ghouls, the morons, and the incompetents that he's surrounding himself with. Now, why in the fuck would you put a fucking voucher vulture for the Department of Education? Now, I worked for a charter school for a short time.
Well, the short answer is because the Republican Party has long had a really, really serious fetish about destroying the Department of Education. Because if you can just do that, then all of the states where it matters, they can dumb the student population down to the point where, well, they'll turn into Trump voters. Look, it worked.
It worked. It's ugly. I mean, because see, when you have a charter school, you don't have to admit everybody. What happens is that, like, I don't know, I saw it in the city.
No, you've got charter schools that admit the cream of the crop, and then you've got schools that don't have a pot to piss in or a window to throw it out of, and they get to the unenviable task of trying to educate the kids that the charter schools and the magnet schools don't want.
And see, and then they're for profit. It's a weird relationship.
Right, and the shareholder, they're
getting public money, but it's still, you know.
And let's not forget that Betsy DeVos is also a hyper frenzied evangelical freak.
Oh, see, and then what is that?
Her mama poured thousands of dollars into the Prop Hate campaign in California.
I'm worried, man. This shit. But you know what? You mentioned it first, but I'm going to back you up. I don't think that the guiders of the needle, in other words, the folks that keep us our political rudder in the middle. I don't think they're going to allow this shit. Now,
I differ with you, my friend. I differ. Sorry, but I do.
This shit can't go on, man. He's got these weirdos. And Giuliani is a disgusting...
It's going to go on, man. It is going to go on.
Oh. Well, I
mean, watch it and see. And in the meantime, we've got this place, this little corner of the internet, where we can sit back and talk and say, oh, my God. And maybe trying to, maybe try to figure out a way, you know, why we're in this handbasket and where it is we're going.
This is why Bob Kincaid needs subscribers, and you know, snail mail is not preferred. It's okay, but it's not preferred. Electronic medium is much better. I don't have my placard in front of me, and I'm not being paid.
No, you're not, and but it's true. It becomes usable faster. And bills become payable faster. And we have $145 to go to finish fundraising for the month. $145. And we got 16 minutes in which to maybe do it.
And the Nordic countries are sadists, and they rely on Bob beating a Swede every month.
That's true. I mean, our buddy Scott does enjoy a good Swede beating.
Oh my God! I just—I mean, it's all this is surreal. Why are these people okay with this shit? I don't understand it.
Well, one, it's not touching them yet. Two, they've bought into the lies. And three, it'll be gratifying after 8 years of that Kenyan Muslim usurper in our White House to see them people put in their places.
Well, that's the other part of it. I didn't get into that. Yeah, you got to put the niggers back there too, up, and you got to put the niggers back in their place. That's a big part of it.
But I'm looking at a story here out of PA. Where is Upper Darby, PA, in Delaware County?
That's just over the line in Philadelphia. That's just over the line.
Okay, so the byline here, the dateline is Upper Darby, PA.
Yeah.
At which a guy driving a Mercedes-Benz by name Havsep Avesian, okay, 27 years old.
Wait, say it again.
Havsep, H-O-V-S-E-P, Avesian, A-V-E-S-Y-A-N,
mm-hmm.
Ethnic Armenian, 27
That's
years right. old,
okay.
from Paxson Hollow Road in Upper Providence.
Oh, I know where that is.
He's been charged with making terroristic threats, a first-degree misdemeanor offense, as well as harassment and disorderly conduct.
Mm-hmm.
This is because he chased down a pair of black Muslim women who were wearing hijabs. This was November the 22nd. Upper Darby Police Department were dispatched to the Wawa at 5337 West Baltimore Pike with a dispatch note of threats in progress. A 44-year-old woman and her 25-year-old daughter, both of them from Philadelphia, were there, as were the 25-year-old woman's young son, her little boy.
Mm-hmm.
And when interviewed by police, the women told them that 26-year-old Havsep Avesian made ethnic slurs toward them. They said they, as they pulled into the Wawa parking lot, a man in a vehicle started saying something to them. They pulled into a parking spot, and he pulled up to a gas pump, and then he started walking toward them, yelling at them. Eventually, they said, "What did you say?" And he said, "You heard me. Go back to where you belong. Go back to Africa."
Mm.
And then he lifted up his jacket to show him his freedom protector. And as he got closer, he said, "Fuck you." At which point the women began to tear the hijabs off their heads.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's going to end up dead. I'm just saying. Because Upper Darby is just far west Philadelphia. And West Philadelphia is full of a lot of black Muslims, and the black Muslims in West Philly related to folks who've been in the, incarcerated. And the NOI people, you know, Nation of Islam type people.
Now, hold on. But wait, it's a Ginsu commercial. There's more.
Oh, there's more.
So when he gets arraigned, the judge makes a condition of bail that he surrender all firearms. They got the one freedom protector off of him there in the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
So then the cops show up at his home and they wouldn't provide the combination to his gun safe. So the cops had to get a tow truck to take the safe out of the house. And finally, because Havsep Avesian wanted out of the stir, he gave up the combination to his dad. The dad gave the combination to the cops. And the cops opened the safe to find 21 guns.
Damn.
Thousands of rounds of ammunition, smoke grenades, and bulletproof vests. And the cops apparently are still in the process of trying to find out if each one of the firearms is legal.
Well, okay.
And this is all, and this is all being described as the product of road rage.
Dude is affluent. Upper Providence, let me tell you, there's no
point. He's driving a Mercedes-Benz, okay?
No, I'm telling you, Upper Providence, there's no poor people in Upper Providence, period. I mean, you poor is like, well, you know, I'm driving a fucking Toyota. You know, seriously. No. He should have been fucking around up there. Look, he's fucking with the wrong people. And Upper Darby's ghetto. I mean, Upper Darby is just an extension of far west Philadelphia, which, you know, is not, you know, it's low SEC, low socioeconomic, SES, I mean, you know, it's,
Yeah, because low SEC is like, you know, Mississippi State and Kentucky.
You got me.
Sorry.
That's college football.
I'm sorry. I know. Shame on me.
No, you're right.
Hell, Vandy, yeah, so, Vandy, wait, but Vandy beat Tennessee and Kentucky beat Louisville.
And the Cox didn't have enough Viagra.
No, not this year. Not this year.
They got beat the fuck down, man. That's a beat.
Oh, no, that was a beat. But then again, I got no room to talk after what happened a week ago last Saturday to my Mountaineers when we marched into our own house and, you know, we're down 34 to nothing before, you know, the whistle had blown to end of the first half. So, no.
Hey, Bob, let me ask you something.
Yeah.
So, this is not about college football, but even though it is exciting, I understand why you like it. Why is it that the mainstream media does not understand the pivot or behind the recount? I mean, how do they not? They're supposed to be smart people. Supposed to be.
I mean, maybe I don't understand the pivot.
Well, the pivot is that this is a post hole. This is like when you take your post hole digger, which I know about now, and I live down here, right? And you throw the concrete in the ground, and you put a post in, and it's there. Boom, and that's a point. Right, that's a point. That's sturdy, yeah. And you can move on beyond that. This is how we get rid of the Electoral College, because we show, well, look, you know, first of all, most people think that one person, one vote. Most people really think that. You can talk all this esoteric bullshit, but most regular people go to work every day, blah, blah, blah. They think that it's one person, one vote. They don't really understand about gerrymandering and the Electoral College, which is what put this fascist, weirdo, mentally ill asshole over the top. And this gives the foundation to move forward. And apparently, from the research I've been doing, it really doesn't take an amendment. There's a compact. There's a state compact. So what it requires, though, is that we have to contact our state legislators. Because no matter what party you're in, I think most people want their
33 out of 50 of which are controlled by the Republican Party. And the Republican Party always benefits from Electoral College wins. It's always been a Republican that won in that situation or something resembling one. No, I get what you're getting at.
Which brings us back to coalition building. See, we have to do this collectively. We can't just be willy-nilly. Right? We can't.
How about the Democrats stop pursuing a political strategy that says as long as we can win Washington, Oregon, California, New York, New England generally, Florida, North Carolina, Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Iowa, we don't have to worry about anywhere else. Now, there's some coalition building talk.
I'm down with that. Exactly. You got to get to middle America, man. Those people, obviously, they said, look, because they're desperate. They know this much. That's what I'm saying.
I don't think those people want Nazis, but I think they're just there. Even black folks voted for this asshole.
Yeah.
That's how I knew when Philly cracked. That's when I went off. I was like, oh, no. And then I know many black Republicans. They just vote straight. Just like we vote straight Democrat, they vote straight Republican, period. But when they were emphatic about it, you know, I was like, oh, my God, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. So, right, I understand what you're saying. So this is where we have to really build our coalitions. That's what we have. That's what we need to work on right now, and we need to work on who we're going to prop up, because who do we have?
I know.
Who do we?
But you know what my mortal fear is, and in fact, Gerald shared something with me earlier this evening. West Virginia Democratic Party posted a new photo on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
The glass ceiling bouncing back and breaking through. A conversation with Tally Sargent, director of Hillary Clinton's campaign in West Virginia. They are already planning, because, you know, I predicted this. I mean, this is like keeping me up nights, that people are whispering to her up there in Chappaqua and saying, Hills, it's okay. You can run again in 20. You'll get it this time. Third time's
what?
The charm.
No, you're kidding.
I'm sure of it.
The fuck
you
out
know
here.
It's That's happening.
Bullshit. That bitch is done. I'm
they
sorry,
made millions
dude.
Of dollars off of her campaign.
Oh, fuck that. No.
I mean, Robbie Mook is not out there eating beans. He ran one of the most disastrous campaigns in recent Democratic Party history. I mean, because the Donald Trump as president is a goddamn disaster. But yeah, they're saying, hey, Hillary, you know, you're not too old. I mean, you won't be as old in 2020 as Bernie was this year. You got this. Third time's the charm. You can break that glass ceiling. By then, America will be with you.
No, fuck that.
Well, you know what? If you don't want to see that in 2020, somebody better start saying it.
That's bullshit.
No, here's, I mean.
Off, that's why people didn't show
no, just a, just a few suggested hashtags. Hashtag no hill no. Hashtag right. Oh hill no. Hashtag hill no.
Look, you know what? Her best fit would be behind the scenes. She's good at the analytics. That's what she's good at. Maybe. Just be behind the scenes and don't fucking say your name. Just be like one of those people that, you know, you're invisible. You know, you did your thing, you tried, but people hate you. Back the fuck up.
A significant portion of America does. And you know what? If they confirm, if he gets nominated to be Secretary of State or Secretary of Defense or whatever, and the Senate confirms David Petraeus.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. But we're almost out of time. I got to share one more thing with you, you know, because we're football nerds. So, you know, the big game was Saturday between Ohio State and Michigan.
Right.
So a bunch of, and this was posted over at Barstool Sports.
I know them.
bunch of white folks done up in Ohio State colors. With a big sign painted on a bed sheet and taped up behind them at the wall of a house. And all the Ohio State fans just a-grinning. They so happy. Michigan girls more diseased than Flint water.
Oh, my God. Oh, my. You
and I'm
what?
Just looking at the photo, and I'm going, Trumpansy, 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 Trumpansy.
I wouldn't think.
Wait, there's,
you know
I
what?
Think there's Mr. one, Trump I think there's one that. Black dude in the photo.
Well, you know, there's always one, right? But, look, that's a fucked up shit. Oh, my God. What is that? What the fuck are they saying about themselves? That's some fucked up shit.
Yeah, Barstool OSU posted the photo with the one-word caption, truth.
No. You know what? I'm speechless. I don't even know what to, I have no response to that.
Gotcha.
You shut me down, man.
Hey, we got to get out of here, Todd.
Thanks, Bob.
You have a good night, man. We'll talk soon.
All right.
Later, man. Bye. And it is time to get out of here. $145 to finish fundraising. And we're done for November. And thanks, everybody. It is. It's 9 o'clock already. Got to go. Always, always, always. Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.